Lord, we thank and praise you for the beauty of this day now that you've given to us. This is the day that you have made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it. And we praise you for that day, this day, Father, here that you've given to us. We thank you, Father, for the health. We thank you, Father, for the breath of life that you've given to each one of us that we could be in here today, Lord. And we praise you for that also. We know that you are an awesome God, that you are a great God. You are the only and true God. And your word here that we have says it. And we praise you for that. We praise you for your word and just all things about it. We ask now, Lord, that your spirit would just take full control here today. Lord, you know I need your help. I need what your thoughts, Lord, here on your word that you have. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. And I just ask that you would just guide and direct that way, Father. And Lord, that you would enlighten us and open our eyes and help us to see and understand your word a whole lot better. And that we can get closer to you. We praise you for it. We ask you would be the pastor with the service to follow and the things that you laid upon his heart there, Lord, that we can just learn from it. We would be enlightened from it. And your spirit would just guide and direct us. Be with us. Give us the safety that we need this day. And just help us here, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going over the ladies' part of the family right now, and the aged women. And there was another one here, honey, I asked, so I'll call you all aged. So. But anyhow, we went over to the God's idea of a good parent, and we went over what a good mother was and a good father was. Now, today we're going to start in and looking at seven things a good mother is going to do, okay? First of all, 1 Timothy 5:14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So he's saying here that he says he wants to see, and I know this is talking about the widows, and he's talking about the widow woman that are over 60 or from 60 years old and up. But then he's saying about the younger women and or even the younger widows, but he said he'd rather see them marry. He wants to see he wants to see the younger women marry. That is, they get married. They don't live together and say, oh, well, he's not the one for me or she's not the one for me. No, that's not what he's talking about. He wants you to marry so that you don't fall into any sins or anything like that. He's saying he wants to see the younger women marry is what he's talking about here. He wants to see the younger women marry. He wants them to bear children. He wants them to have children. Children are a heritage. Children are a heritage unto God. He wants them to see that. Psalm, let me get it back here for you and read it to you. A lot of you know the verse. Psalm 127. He says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb in his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. So he says a man's happy having children. Doesn't matter how many you have. You can have one. You can have a dozen. You're not to be shameful of what you have or anything like that there. He says they shall not be ashamed. But you're to have children. They're a gladness in your home. You know, they make things happy. They make things interesting. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Last night, we had a little gather, and then all of a sudden, the kids have to start telling their stories of what they did that mom and dad don't know nothing about. No problem. They know what they would have got if they'd have told us back then. One loved to play with my gasoline. He thought it was cool to throw it on fire. So they drug. I had a big jug that was 30-gallon jug that I had gasoline in it. And they drug it down to where we burnt stuff, but they didn't know that they were when they were dragging it that the gas was leaking out of it. And so what they did was they took it, and when he lit it, that loved to mess with the fires, he lit it. All of a sudden, it starts chasing them, and they're running. They're running up the hill. And they jump up on top of the dog box that was back there at that particular time so that the fire wouldn't get to them. Luckily, it didn't. They got away with it because they didn't know that it didn't catch the big jug on fire, because then Dad would have known it. But see, Dad never knew nothing about this. And then they said they had the side of the house on fire one time, and they got it out before it melted the siding or anything, and we didn't know nothing about it. So, you know, you find out the children make things interesting. Just wait, you younger ones. Just you wait. Your time's coming. Your time's coming. Believe me. But anyhow, he says here that the younger women are to marry. They're to bear children. They're to guide the house. What do you think that means? Guide the house. Anybody? What's guide mean? Lead? Good. Anybody else?
Direct on the path that's already been chosen.
Guide means, that's right, to direct, to regulate and manage, and to superintend. So, young ladies, aged women, you're to guide the house. You're to be the superintendent. We have a superintendent on our jobs where we work at, and he's to, as you want to call it, guide that work to make sure that everything's getting done, everything's getting done right, everything's getting done suitable, and all that. And that's what he's saying here. They're to guide the house. He wants them to guide the house. And he says then, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And they're not to give in to the devil. You know, the devil, he wants to tear up your family. He loves to do that. That's something that he loves to do. He likes to tear up churches. He loves to tear up anything that he can get up. And he's after your family. So don't give in to the adversary. Don't let it come to the point where when you get older and say, oh, I married the wrong person. They got to get lost. Get out of here, you know. I'm going with somebody else. No, don't give in to the adversary. You know, you're to stick together. You're to stick with it. So that's what he's talking about here. So he says that I will therefore that the younger women marry, they bear children, they guide the house, and they give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Okay, so that's what Paul says here. Now, the first of the seven things that we're going to look at here is that a good mother is going to do is the first thing she's going to do is they're going to love their children. Love their children. Titus 2, 4 and 5. Titus 2, 4 and 5. He says that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, this is the aged women. This is what he's talking about here. Aged women, I want to say you older women, but I can't say that because I already asked if I'll get in trouble. So, but anyhow, it's the aged women. He says that the aged women likewise, be in behavior and become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. You're to teach, as he says here, that they may teach the younger women to be sober. What was sober? What did that mean? Sensible. They're sensible is what he's talking about. Okay. And that's what the word means. And he says that they're to teach them to be sober or to be sensible, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. What's discreet mean? What do you think it means? Yeah, that's part of it, I'd say. Sure. Anybody else? Some of these words, you know, when you get in here like this here, and I think, what does that mean? Now I gotta know what that means. It says that it's prudent. You're prudent. You're wise in avoiding. In avoiding errors or evil, and in selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose. Circumspect, cautious, wary, not rash. So that's what he's saying here, that you're to be discreet, wise in different things. Chaste. What does chaste mean? And there's a couple different meanings to this word, but what do you think chase means? Yep, that's one of them. Pure. In language, pure, genuine, uncorrupt, free from barbarous words and phrases, and from quaint, effective expressions, extravagant expressions. So, you know, you're pure in that. And applied to marriage couples, true to the marriage bed. So, you see, you're chaste. You're pure, you know. You're true to things. That's what he's trying to tell them. So he says they're to be discreet, they're to be wise, chaste, they're to be pure, and they're to be keepers at home. They're to be the keepers at home. They're to take care of things at home. As the man goes out to work and things like that, he says that they're to be the keepers at home. Good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God need not blaspheme. So he's saying here, you know, that they're to love their husbands and to love their children. They're to love their children. This is something that God commands us here to do, to love their children, you know. And he says that you're to love your children. He wants these older ladies that they're to teach. They're to teach these younger ones. They're to teach them. They're to be like he says here, discreet and chaste in them different kinds of aspects of life. But see, these here were younger. These were younger Christians at this particular time. These younger ladies, they were younger Christians, and he was trying to teach them to have harmony in the home. He was trying to teach them these different aspects, and that's why he was telling the older ladies that they were to do that. And the older ladies were supposed to be setting an example. They were to be watched. You know, you were to be watching them to see. I always was brought up. I grew up. I loved watching older guys. I love watching. I still do it today. I like watching, and I'll watch even you younger guys. I watch whatever. If you're doing something, and there's something that I think I can learn something from it, I watch you how you do it. Now, I'll take that there and I'll apply that, and sometimes that works fine, and there's other times where. There's something, if I can see that I could do it maybe a little faster or a little quicker or something like that there, I do it. And then I'll apply that. And that's what he's saying here, that he wants these aged women, he wants them to be, that these younger women can be watching them doing the things, having this harmony in the home, how to raise their children, how to guide their homes, and things like that there. And that's what he's talking about. He wants them to do to watch these aged women to do this. And that's the idea of this whole situation here. Now, you aged women, as somebody is watching you, make sure. That you're confident in what you're doing, because you don't know who's watching you, and that you're setting an example to motivate these younger believers. See, and it's in a way that honors God. So be sure that what you're doing, that you're setting an example, and not sitting back there laughing is setting an example, you aged woman. So, you know, you got to set an example. Don't pay no attention to my wife, please. I could tell you a story today. I could tell you a story. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, you've heard, I need a lot of you heard some stories, but you needed to hear this story from this past week. Okay. I wasn't going to do it, and she told me not to do it. But another spoon for me, okay? A bigger one, okay? The young kids were there this week, the young boys. The two, the tornado and hurricane were there. And they took and broke one of her lights she has sitting on the windows. You know, we have all these little lights sitting on the windows now all over the place. And one of them broke it. So she gets out her sweeper. What is it? What kind is it? Of Dyson. Dyson sweeper. And she turns it on to sweep this up. And it's going, oh, making this great big sound, you know. And it's not picking nothing up. And she can't figure out why it's not picking nothing up. And Roger's there, and she asks him, and they're both trying to check this out. So what they do is, oh, I know what we can do. I'll Google it. I get online because I've been on it before, you know, and it'll tell us. So she got online, and it told him four different things. Well, I'm sorry. They're wrong. There's five different things. why it won't suck it up, you know. But anyhow, she's trying to get this to work, and she can't figure out what's going on. So she knows her sister's coming down, so she tells her sister, her mom has one like it. Bring it down, you know. They've gone through everything, the hose being plugged, the motor. This lady that's on it, she's British, and she calls it a motor or something like that. This motor's not working, you know, and all this and that stuff. And they do everything, and they can't figure out what's going on. So she brings her mother's down, and it works. And now, listen, the switch is right here. You know, the switch is right here. You turn it on and off, you know. Well, all of a sudden, they discover the canister is missing. The canister on the sweeper is missing. So what do? They start ramming all over the house looking for it. They can't find it. They come out to the garage, both of them, and ask me if I have it. Now, what do I have a canister out in my garage for? And I'm working on vehicles. I don't need a sweeper canister to work on vehicles. And they're looking all over for it. And she's not positive, you know, if this is what it is. So she takes the one off her mother's and puts it on this, and it's starting to suck up everything. So she takes it off, and she turns it on, and it's making this noise. That's why it's not sucking it up. It's gone. She can't find the canister. Well, they're out in the garbage. And they're tearing the garbage to pieces, trying to find this canister. They looked all over the house a million times. They kept blaming it on the young kids for taking it. Well, that and the husband, you know, evidently. So they're looking all over for it, and finally they give up. She's fussing. Oh, Dean's going to have to buy me a new sweeper. Yeah, Dean's money, not hers. She saves hers and spends mine. But anyhow, you know, he's going to have to buy me another. She checked out how much the pieces were. You know, it all comes in pieces, and it costs more than what a sweeper does and all this and that stuff. So my brother-in-law, they bring that sweeper down, and he goes out because he's used to looking in the garbage for stuff because they lose stuff all the time, all the time. So he gets out, he gets in the garbage, and he grabs the first bag he brings out, and he dumps it out. Guess what? There it is. There it is in the garbage. She dumped it in the garbage and left it in the bag whenever she dumped it out. Now the switch is right here when you turn it on and off, and right there is where it is, the canister. She can't figure out why it won't pick up. So now we're going to Google and put it on the internet that there's five different ways that it won't suck up instead of four different ways. I'm sorry, ladies, do not watch my wife. Please don't do that. It won't be very good for you, okay? Now, you other ladies, you can teach these younger ladies, okay? You can teach them, but be confident when you're teaching them, you see? And that's what he's talking about here. He's teaching them that they're to love their children, to love their husbands, and that's what the thing that's going on here. So Christians should be teaching one another. These younger Christians should be teaching the younger women with these things. And when God says to teach the women to love their children, it's because they don't love them as they should and need lessons in how to love them. And that's probably what he was thinking about here when he was doing it. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5 again. And he's saying here in verse 13, he's telling them here, you know, that maybe this is why they need this. And we went over a little bit about this here. He says in verse 13, 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle. wandering about from house to house. That idle is the state of doing nothing, okay, the state of doing nothing, wandering from house to house. See, they're idle. They don't know what to do with themselves. They need to keep themselves busy, but instead they're idle. Now they're wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers. What do you think tattlers means? What's that?
Gossip.
Gossip, right? One who tattles, an idle talker, one that tells tales. That's what the dictionary says about it. And that's what a tattler is. And also busybodies. What's a busybody? A meddling person, one who officially concerns himself with the affairs of others. So they're busybodies, it says, and speaking things which they ought not. So this is what they're doing. They're going around and they're going from house to house. Did you hear what Mrs. Codner did to Pastor? Do you know what she did? She told him to take the garbage out. And he said, I'll take it out later for you, honey. She said, I want it taken out now. He says, I'll take it out later for you, honey. She hauled back and hit him between the eyes. He's got a black eye, and he's not telling anybody, you know. And, you know, look at him close. He has makeup on. She's trying to cover it up. See, that's what they're talking about. That's exactly what they're talking about. Something you don't know anything about. You're going around, you're talking, you know, you're really doing. Do you know that Corby Featheroff? He makes his wife get up at 3:30 in the morning to milk the cow. Now, you know what he did? He went and bought 25 more cows for her to get up to milk. Can you imagine? See, that's what it's all about. You know, somebody that's a busybody, somebody that's a tattler, you know, somebody that's idle, they're doing nothing, you know. Believe me, there's lots of women out here that do that today. There is in this world. And there's even Christian ladies that do it. You know, they need to keep themselves busy. They need to be taught by the older ladies so that they be able to, you know, watch them and to learn how to love their children, to love their husbands, to do the right things that they're supposed to be doing. You see. So one of the things here that he's talking about, he says that they're to do, love their children. Questions or comments on that before I go to the next thing here? Anybody? Okay. All right, so he says that they're to love their children. What is love? I'll ask you the question. What is love? A choice? Anybody else?
Action, not a feeling.
Okay. Anybody else? Corby.
Put those two together, it's a choice to put your actions somebody else instead of yourself. You know, care.
Now we're getting someplace. That's right. Go to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Here's what the Bible says about love. Here is a true love. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Okay, here is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But he says here, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this is what love is. Are you laying your life down for others? Are you laying your life down for your husband? Are you laying your life down for your children? You know, are you doing these things? Are you giving up all your want-tos for others? Being selfless and giving. Being selfless and giving. A little boy was asked to give blood to his little sister. He agrees. And then the boy asks the doctor, will it hurt when I die? Think about it. Will it hurt when I die, when I give this blood? Did you get that, honey? Shall I explain that to you? You didn't get it, did you? I'll explain it to you later. But he says this, he agreed to this. And you know, it's just something, you know, are you going to do that? Are you going to do that? Will you do that? Or will you lay down your life for you know, your family, you know, instead of being like a busybody or a toddler or someone like that there that's idle, you know, giving your life for one another. And that's what we're to do, you know, for our families, for our friends, for our church family and things like that there. We're to do these kind of things. We're to lay down our life for one another. And that's what he talks about. Now, another place here that he talks about it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He's saying, you know, you can speak with tongues, you know, and he says of men and of angels. And, you know, you have a lot of that going on today. But he says, if you don't have charity, you have nothing. It's nothing. It is absolutely positively nothing. He says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, okay, he has the gift of prophecy. You can prophesy just like, you know, like Elijah said, all right, it's not going to rain for 3 years. Okay, he prophesied that. And it didn't rain for 3 years upon the earth. You can prophesy. You can understand all mysteries, the mysteries of God. You know, the Bible teaches, it talks about some of the mysteries of God. You know, and Paul opens a few of them up. But anyhow, you can know all these mysteries. You know all this stuff. You have all knowledge. Solomon, I mean, the man was wise. He had all knowledge, except for when it came to the women that he married, and they took that away from him. But you can have all knowledge. You can have, and though I have all faith, you can have a faith. He says that you can remove mountains. You can say to this mountain, get out of here. Move. You know, I have the faith to do it. Boom, it's gone. You know, you have that faith. You have all these things. And he says, and have not charity, I am nothing. What do you think the point is here? What do you think he's trying to point out? He's trying to point out as charity is the most valuable thing that you can have. The love for one another. That love. And this charity, as the pastor has said before, it's a strong love. It's something completely different. It's a supreme to God's love is what it talks about. But anyhow, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Okay, you give everything to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It's nothing. Everything is nothing without charity, he's saying. He says, charity suffereth long. When you get tired of that mate, or when you get tired of something like that there, suffer it out. Stick to it. You know. Stick to it. It suffereth long and is kind. If the pastor's wife wants to hit him, he's got to suffer it out, you see. He says, and it's kind. Charity envieth not. It don't envy anything. It don't envy what somebody else has. It doesn't envy these kind of things. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't brag. That's what that vaunteth means there. Does not brag. It does not brag. And it says, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Wow. I mean, you think he's trying to tell us something there? It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil, you know. What do we do sometimes, you know? We think evil. That's one of the first things that comes to our minds. We think of evil. And he says charity doesn't do that. He says rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Wow. It's the truth that it rejoices in. That's what's neat about it. He says it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Does God's love ever fail? Can you show me in the Bible where God's love has failed? It's never failed. He gave his only son for you and I because he loved us. That's the true charity. You see, that's that charity that he's talking about here. That love, it never faileth. He says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, there's the problems today with some, a lot of Christians, you know, even when they become a younger Christian. They don't want to put away the childish things. They don't want to put them away. They want to keep them on. They drag them into their families, you know. If their mom and dad baby them and their husband doesn't baby them, then right away, you know, they're upset, they're mad. Oh, I made the wrong mistake here. You see, that happens a lot. You got to put away the childish things. Put them away. Honey, put away that there childish things, being afraid of snakes. That's nothing. I mean, snakes is nothing. You don't have to holler and scream and carry on. You know, you're not going to have a heart attack over a snake. She tells her younger granddaughter is playing with snakes. When she goes to the other in-laws, he has all kinds of snakes, and she has them all crawling all over her and stuff, and she says, you bring one of them home to me, I'm going to have a heart attack. You won't have a heart attack, honey. Put away that childish thing, you know. Boy, that spoon's getting bigger, I'm telling you. Verse 12 here, he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith. Okay? Faith is it's something that's strong. He says, now abideth faith. Hope, that's something strong. Charity, that's something strong here that he's pointing out. These three, you know, if you have faith, hope, and charity, you got these three. But what's the greatest of these, he says, is charity. That love. Charity is something. So, what is love? There it is. Now, does love have the same place in your home that it does in God's Word? Boy, that's a tough one for us. How many of God's characteristics of love are regularly seen in the way you handle your children? Ooh, you know how it is sometimes. When they do something that they're not supposed to, and you've told them a couple times, then it's kind of going to gets a little different, a little different. But, you know, how are these characteristics? How's God's characteristics in that love that you have, you know, and how are they seen, and how do you handle your children? Okay, questions or comments on that one? All right, now, next thing in here is, how do you show your love? How do you show your love? Anybody want to take a swat at that one? How do you show your love, Corb? Making your wife go out at 3:30 in the morning and milk the cows or what? I know she don't do that, so. Mm-hmm. That's right. Good. Anybody else want to hit on that? Bam. I agree with you. I'm a little bit like that too. And that's something that I did learn throughout my years is I learned to listen anyhow. You know, I just have to watch through what I say because sometimes it's just not the right thing. So I just don't say it a lot of times.
No.
Ron. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's easy to love because you want to do it. It's harder to express that love and to learn that love. But I think you're going bad, whether that's between you and your wife or something happens with your kids or other situations in life where you have that tendency to go and speak from the
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay. Well, first of all, I have down here, tell your children that you love them. Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Speak it out. Tell them. Tell your children that you love them. They like to hear that. They hear you holler and scream at them all the time, don't they? If they do something wrong. So you better tell them that you love them. You know, also, it goes right along with that. So make sure you tell your children that you love them. The next thing here I have down is show your children that you love them. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, you're to show your children that you love them. How can you show your children that you love them? I have five things down here. How can you show your children that you love them? Corb.
I think with each kid, it's different. You know, certain children are going to react to different things in different ways. And so one's going to appreciate praise a whole lot more than the other one's going to appreciate, just wrapping your arms around them from time to time. You know, every one of our kids reacts different to different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Miriam.
Well, when you punish and stuff, you have to go back and you have to tell them why you punished, but when you have to tell them you love them and you get their own mistake.
Mm-hmm. When you do that, you got to make sure that you bring in God's word, you know, and explain it to them, you know, why God says that he punishes us, you know, and that we have to, you know, continue that on with our children, you know, for punishing them also. Anybody else? How can you show your children that you love them? Pastor?
Time with them, doing things for them.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's one of my things. Go ahead.
I have basically the same response. Giving your time to your kids is something special that they want you to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say that, along with that, listening
to them is very good. Yep, especially when they get older. There's some of you that's just starting to get some teenagers. You better listen to them now. Help them out. Because if you don't, you'll wonder why that things turned out the way they did. So listen to them. Well, the first thing I have down here is sort of what Pastor was talking about there. Play games with them. Don't be afraid to play games with them. You're not too old to play games with them. A psychologist asked the little boy, "How do you know your dad loves you?" The little boy said, "Because he plays with me." Good answer, you know. That little boy knew that his dad loved him because they played games with him and stuff. You know, he played with him. He liked that. The next thing I have down here is counsel them. Counsel them. Never be too busy for your children. Never be too busy for your children. Jesus said in Mark 10, man, oh man, I can't keep nothing up here today. Mark 10:14. He said, "But when Jesus saw it, it was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus always, always, always had his arms open for the children, the little children. He says, "Forbid them not to come unto me." You know, he says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is, or the kingdom of God is. So you know, don't be afraid to be with them. You know, don't be afraid to counsel them. You know, always be there for them. If they come to talk to you and you keep rejecting them, when they become a teenager, they're not going to come to you when you want them to. They will not do that. We're going to be discussing some of these things when we get into the children. But that's one of the things. They're not going to come to you. If they can't come to you now when they're smaller, they're not going to come to you when they get older. They definitely won't do that. You know, they just builds up something there between you and them. It's a barrier that they have, and they won't come to you for that. Okay. The next thing here is praise your children. Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the lawless of kindness. You know, praise your children. Praise your children more than you criticize them. How much do we criticize our children? You know, especially if we get upset with them, especially if we're trying to correct them, want them to do something and they don't do it right away. You know, you can criticize them, but you need to be praising them too when they do good. You see, that's what happens with a lot of parents. You know, they criticize their children all the time, but they never give them any praise. How do you expect them to grow? How do you expect them, you know, to become that person that you want them to be? How do you expect them to pass it on from generation to generation to generation? If they're criticized all the time, they're going to pass that on from generation to generation, the criticism. They're not going to pass on the praise thing that we're supposed to be doing. And we're to praise them. No one could rebuke sin like our Savior, who drove the money changers out of the temple. Now, do you think that when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, that he just kind of talked real soft to them and said, "Now you guys, you know this isn't something that you should be doing in here. This is something that you shouldn't be having this money stuff in here, selling things in the temple of God." You know, I think Jesus raised his voice a little bit. Maybe a hair or two. When he threw it over the tables, that says he threw the tables and stuff over. I don't think Jesus was very happy with that situation. You know, and there's times where, you know, we're not happy with situations, and we do raise our voice. But, you know, don't be doing it just to get your frustrations out or anything like that there. You know, sometimes it's better to use the rod than your tongue. Not always, but there's just some times where you just best use the rod than your tongue. Okay, I'm going to cut it off right there. Any questions or comments on anything that we talked about, we're going to pick up from there. Mrs. Codner?
There's a verse in Proverbs, if I can remember it, but I can't remember where it is. It says, "If the fine pot is forsaken, the furnace for silver and the furnace for gold, so the man to his praise." Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. I just came over that verse last night. I was going through Proverbs there. I was looking for another verse, and I came over that verse. I can't even think of now where it was. I think I have it underlined, though. But yes, you know, the praise of your children, you have to, you know, that's something. And that's something else that we're going to be going over here, the same thing there, the next time that we get together here. So any other questions? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And if children hear you talking about that, you know, to somebody else too, that is no good. No good whatsoever. So it's not. Definitely. Okay. So I won't tell no more stories about my wife, all right?
Till
the next thing comes along. Okay. We've got to stop right there. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we can go, be able to go through this family series that we're going over. And I just ask that you would just continue to give us the wisdom that we need, that you would just enlighten us through your word. We thank you for this day now once again. And we praise you, Father, for your love for us and how we can just take that love that you have for us and give it out to everybody else. We thank and praise you for it all now. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.